2026, the year of growth.
We learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 and Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that it is in the heart and mind of God for every person who believes and obeys to multiply and become more. Therefore, get ready for 2026, the year of growth, where in every season they must be fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22 verse 2. The first place we need to grow is in our spiritual life. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to the Spirit of God. This means the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. The way of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is a way of blessings indeed. How can we grow if we don't know His ways? The University of the Holy Spirit is the high school of learning whereby spiritual truths are discerned and imbibed. It is time to learn the ways of the Spirit and be fully prepared for the blessings to come. Are you ready? The best is yet to come, indeed.
2026, the year of growth.
We want to share a short message to build our life. We know the promise of God for everybody is to increase. The question is, what's the purpose? What's the meaning of having Jesus in our lives? The scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, when you read, mankind, human being, we are made to the image and likeness of God. This Bible we read, we believe so much. From faith to faith, what's the heart of God concerning the Bible? The Bible expresses what is in the heart of God for human beings. What is in the mind of God for human beings? From Genesis to the book of Revelation. Remove the history. Remove the traditions. Remove the rites and rituals. Remove the stories about this and that. It's more than that. There is a hidden truth in the Bible. The underlying truth, the hidden truth, is the divine meaning of the scriptures. There are two dimensions to life. We have the natural and we have the spiritual. This means there's natural knowledge and we have spiritual knowledge. This Bible we believe there are scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God, who revealed it to special people called prophets. And these prophets receive revelation from God through the Holy Spirit. That's what the scripture says. It is written clearly. Now, these prophets, they receive revelation from God, His plan for human being. The plan hidden in the heart of God, in the mind of God, to us. What is the heart of God for you? What is the mind of God? The message that underlines the whole biblical revelation is summarized in one single word, righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. That's what the Bible is all about. What is righteousness? Right standing with God. If we want to relate with God, we must have a right standing with Him. Not our standard, but God's standard, for His ways are not our ways. Why God created man to His image and likeness? What makes us to be the image and likeness of God is not on our physical body at all. It's not in my complexion, in my color, in what I look. Never. It is in the spirit, because God said we have a spirit. We have soul and body. If I don't believe that I have a spirit, how will I believe there's a God? Everything starts by me. If I don't believe I have a spiritual side so important, which is the focus of God, that's the meaning of faith in that case. Faith is not a product of my reasoning faculties and body. faith is from the heart. It's not the product of the reasoning faculties, intellectual knowledge, but a creative spirit. With our heart, we believe. Heart means not a human heart. With our conscience, with our spirit, we believe in God. When God created man and woman, they were having fellowship with God every single day. That's what the Bible says. God was the one coming to them. God was the one looking for them. God is the one looking for me today, looking for you today. He delights in hearing our prayers. His message to us, come to me, return to me, I will return to you. God is appealing to every human being to come to him. He has given us discretion. We are not a robot. God can only invite you. Either you come or you refuse to come. Either you like or you don't like. Either you believe, you don't believe. He just set the table before you. Sometimes I liken the message of the gospel as a restaurant. People pass by, some enter, some taste the food, like the food, and come back again. But some say, I don't like the food, and never come back again. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what Jesus said. A food is set before everybody. Everybody is invited at the table. Those who know the value of this food and like it for eternal life will continue to eat that food. But those who don't like the food will reject it. That's the choice. He never forced anybody to enter his restaurant. He never forced anybody to believe or to come to him. But blessed are those who believe that Jesus said. So, what are we saying today? We are talking about our likeness to God is in righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. What happened after the fall? The relationship between God and man was severed, separated. Adam and Eve left God's presence, and we saw what happened after that. To know God's presence is to know his power, his love, his life, his righteousness. We stand in his presence in the counsel of God. When you read Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16, there's what we call the counsel of God, meaning the presence of God. The presence of God was with the prophets of old, with Adam. He was with Noah. He was with Abraham. His presence means it is possible to enjoy the presence of God here on earth. That's what God said. He wants a relationship between God and man in spirit and in truth. A promise was made that the wall of hostility, the separation between God and man, that there is a Messiah coming. When he comes, he will break down the wall of separation. When he comes, he will restore man to God. When he comes, a new type of relationship with God, a new type of worship will come in spirit and in truth, with all our heart, with all our mind. That was a promised Messiah. That's the purpose Jesus came. We just celebrated Christmas. We celebrated the arrival of the Holy One, the Messiah, who came to lay down his life, to remove the barrier between God and man, to remove sin and reconcile it with God and become our righteousness. That is the purpose Jesus came to fulfill the Bible. He is our righteousness. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. When Jesus came, what did he say? When you go to Luke chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what he preached. Repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus. That's the key to the promise of righteousness. If I'm in right standing before God, I can approach God with boldness to pray to him as my Father. And when you pray, he promised to listen and to answer. Because I'm praying in righteousness led by his spirit. What is the seal of righteousness? That this is right before God, this is not right. The seal of God's trademark of righteousness is the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus made a promise that when he goes to the Father, he will send the Holy Spirit to them. Then the Holy Ghost come, a new creation, a new life, as he said to Nicodemus, will come. A new way of life, a new way of thinking, a new way of talking, a new way of praising, worshiping God will come in spirit and in truth. That was the promise of righteousness. What is the evidence that we have received the gift of righteousness? What is the evidence that we have been forgiven. What is the evidence? That we have the Spirit of God dwelling in our heart. We have Christ as our righteousness. What's the evidence? Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, you will know them by their fruit. What is the seal of perfect righteousness before God? That seal was revealed in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He never committed any sin. The way he came from heaven through a virgin shows that he is the Son of God. The way he lived, he never committed any sin. He stood there and said, who among you can convict me of sin? He lived a sinless life without any sin. That shows he is the Son of God. The way he left, nobody took his life. He gave his life for everyone to fulfill the promise of heaven. He committed the Spirit to God. And third day, as he said, he rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, he appeared to witnesses chosen by God, his apostles, and those around him. They saw him, and they wrote this Bible to us today. And he promised at Pentecost, he will send the Holy Spirit to them. That is the promise of the Father. That's the promise of the Bible. That's the promise of eternal life. When you have Holy Spirit, you have everything. The greatest gift of God is eternal life. The greatest gift is Holy Spirit himself. That's why we have to believe for the kingdom of God. We have to believe for righteousness' sake. Now, I want to explain what happened when the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost. In the book of Acts chapter 2, we all know that when the Spirit came, they were all praying in the upper room. And they said, tongues of fire came. We oftentimes restrict, limit the grace of God to that speaking tongues of what happened. There were signs, phenomena that explain the presence of God in their lives. Right, that's true and that's valuable and very important. But that's not the key issue. Why God gave us His Spirit? God gave us His Spirit to make us like His Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Simple. The primary reason for giving us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is to make us to the image and likeness of Christ. That's the new creation the Bible is talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 46, 47, the Bible says, as every human being bore the image of the earthly man Adam, every born again will bear the image of the heavenly man, Jesus Christ, a life-giving spirit. If we express the necessary belief as the Bible promises in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, if we believe we are not righteous, if we believe we cannot save ourselves, if we believe we are all wretched and need God's mercy, if we believe our ways are not right before God, and we believe the way out is Jesus, then we come to God in humility, asking God for mercy, repentance towards God for our ways, and embrace the truth of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the promise of the Holy Ghost comes. That's what God said. It is not my word. It's what the Bible teaches. Anybody who hears the message with a pure heart, who believes it, who is seeking the truth, the meaning of his life, any person who discovered his emptiness and come to God in humility, in true repentance, asking for God to show him the way for eternal life, the promise of God will come. That's what the Bible says. It's so simple. It's so clear. You don't need to fight for it. You don't need to pay for it. What God wants, a simple and humble heart before him. It is so simple that we call it the good news. It is so simple, you don't have any work to do. The only work asks you to do is to believe. You don't need to work to pray and fast for that. It's grace. And nobody can merit it. It's for everyone. Jesus never died for a single person. He died for every human being. No one is perfect before God. There is no righteous here on earth. Not even one. The promise of the Bible is a gift of righteousness. That's what Jesus came to say. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's all Jesus said. He never says seek money. Seek this. But seek the kingdom of God first and seek his righteousness. And every other thing shall be added unto you. Do we really believe that? Do we really trust in that message? What kind of gospel do we believe? What type of Christ do you believe? What kind of person do we want to be? Do we believe there is life after life? Do we believe in eternal life? Do we believe that we are not just flesh? That's what the message of the gospel is all about, the good news. There is no condemnation. God never sent Jesus to condemn anyone. He came with a message of reconciliation, a message of love for those who are willing to accept it from a free heart. That's the truth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The voice of pride, the voice of self-righteousness, we never listen to that voice. But the voice of humility will listen to it. The message of the gospel of righteousness, it takes humility to receive that message with a pure heart. So now when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, he comes to dwell within you. That is the promise of heaven. Jesus said in John 14, 17, he is with you. He will be in you, indwelling presence. You become the temple of God, the dwelling place of God in spirit. He dwells in your heart of a true believer. And when he comes, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, God sent the spirit of his son in our heart that cries out, Abba, Father. Immediately he comes, he begins to do a work of conviction. What is conviction? To help our weaknesses. To help us to do what is right in the sight of God. He comes to manifest his strength in our weaknesses. At Pentecost, don't forget, the apostles and other disciples were working with Jesus for 3 years. When Jesus left, he asked them to tarry in Jerusalem. Wait till you receive the promise of the Father. They believed him and they waited and they stayed in faith, waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of God in their lives. There were thousands of followers of Jesus before. But many believed that at the cross, everything was finished. Very few, when you read the Bible, around 120, were in that upper room in the midst of persecution in Jerusalem. And the one who made the promise, never tarry. He came at the right time. And the Holy Ghost came upon them. He came, he sanctified them. He regenerated them, makes them born again. With a new heart, with a pure heart. That's the part of us that is restored to the image and likeness of God, our heart, our spirit. He came to give them supernatural ability and strength to witness for Jesus. There was the powers of speaking in tongues and whatever to qualify them to spread the gospel with signs and wonders and miracles that God performed through them. But he came for something special for themselves. To build the nature of Christ in them, to change them within, to develop the fruit of the Spirit. When you see Peter before Pentecost and Peter after Pentecost, it was a radically different person. The fear stopped. We're no longer controlled by his emotion, controlled by faith. We can see the fruit of the Spirit, patience, love, joy, perseverance begin to take place in their lives. So when the Holy Ghost comes, he comes to help us to develop a holy character, Christ's character. How does he achieve that? He uses the Word of God to act upon our soul to produce the virtues of Christ's character, righteousness. What was impossible for you to do began possible. A new way of talking, a new way of new love, a new kind of love. A love that is no longer self-centered. A love that is no longer conditional. A love that does not discriminate. Peter was a person were sent to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, a foreigner. But he listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit and went there, the place he never wanted to go. He went there. Led by the Spirit of love, he preached the gospel and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit in their life. Salvation, eternal life, righteousness came. Now, I want to show you just a picture as guideline to what we're going to share today. When you look here at Pentecost, this is the work of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. When he came, here is on the outside, the power to witness for Christian services, the gift from the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak a kind of wisdom they never spoke before. They begin to speak a kind of knowledge they never had before by revelation. They begin to speak the word of faith and miracle took place. They begin to prophesy, to speak words that no human being can utter. We begin to see the signs and wonders and miracles happening, going into the act of apostles. They begin to have supernatural power, empowered by the Holy Ghost. What is this power for? This power was just to tell those who are listening to the message that these men are not ordinary persons. The message comes from God, listens to them. When Jesus started his ministry, he started healing the sick, setting the captive free, doing all these sorts of miracles. But that was not the foundation of Jesus' message. When you read Luke chapter 5, you will see, after he performed the miracle, Jesus came by the seaside and entered the boat of Simon Peter, and he said, "Pull to the deep." So he moved the boat inside the water, and he began to ask the people to sit down, and Jesus began to teach them the word of God, and that is the issue. God's word reflects his character. That's the parable of the sower. That's the seed that comes into our heart and begins to produce this fruit of the Spirit we are talking about here. People began to follow the apostles not because of signs and wonders. People began to follow them because of the character they displayed here, their character. People saw in them something that brought the spirit of fear of the Lord, holiness, sanctification. The people that embraced Jesus at Pentecost, the Bible says they sold their property, everything, and they were serving God with their lives because they discovered the kingdom of God. Righteousness was all in their lives. The primary reason why we have Holy Spirit today is not power, please, is to develop godly character. Jesus said, "Love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you." No flesh can do that. It takes the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. When he came, he began to work here on the inside. I put inside, in the hearts. He's working in my heart. He's working in your heart as you take his word. What you are unable to do, to speak beautiful words, to speak, to be gentle, to be kind in the midst of oppression, in the midst of difficulty, Holy Spirit will do it for you if you believe that. When they were persecuted, in Acts chapter 4, verse 5, they spoke words of humility. They were kind in their answer. When Jesus was accused and taken to the cross, he responded with forgiveness, gentleness, kindness. When Pilate was interrogating him before sending him to the cross, Jesus answered in a gentle way. When they came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas betrayed him, Jesus called him my friend. When Peter pulled out the dagger to fight for Jesus and cut the ears of one of the servants, Jesus stretched his hand and healed the person. That was his goodness. We have a battle. We have a Lord. We have a captain we are serving, we are fighting for. His name is Jesus. That's the battle of righteousness. What is righteousness? Love becomes your weapon against hatred. Humility becomes your weapon against pride. Self-control becomes your weapon against anger. When the enemy uses a situation to provoke you to anger, to provoke you to act out of character, the Spirit of God will help you to do what is right in the sight of God. You hear the testimony of our mother. She said, whatever happened, she closed her mouth and gave herself to prayer. That was the standard. Don't answer anybody. Give yourself to prayer. If God is whom we say he is, he knows how to take up every challenge of your life. Jesus called us to love everybody. and to trust God with all our heart, soul, and spirit. They had the fruit of the Spirit. They were threatened. Don't preach gospel anymore. Peter stood and preached the gospel. Because that's the commandment of God. How do we show Jesus is in us? By the way we respond to situations. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. At the day of judgment, when Jesus will come, the fruit he's looking for are this one, the fruit of the Spirit, not power. If we have the Holy Spirit, we should follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what being a Christian is all about. Means we need to follow his ways. We need to pray as Jesus would have prayed. We need to love as Jesus would have loved. That is what we call the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We embrace God's kind of lifestyle. And this, no human being can do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. So when he comes, the godly character we are talking about, we know the fruit of the Spirit, everybody knows it. Galatians chapter 5, when we read verse 23, it will mention this fruit of the Spirit. We have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the character of Jesus Christ when you read the Bible. These are God's kind of lifestyle. We saw the love of Jesus overflowing to everybody. And that love never discriminate, never reject anyone. We saw the inner joy of the Lord. We saw peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Go read John chapter 8. Now, what is the purpose of this fruit we are talking about? This fruit of the Spirit portrays our attitude, the right attitude before God and man. I repeat. This is right standing, the fruit of righteousness, which show the right attitude before God and before man. What do I mean before God? Our attitude towards God is this one. What is our attitude towards God? You know, God looks at our heart. We have a spirit. It is our spirit, our heart, that responds to God. With our heart, we believe God. With our heart, we trust God. With our heart, we hear God. With our heart, we pray. With our heart, we meditate. God listens to our heart when we pray. God looks our heart. That's the contact point, the communication point for the Holy Spirit, our heart. What is the attitude of my heart towards God? These are the fruit of the Spirit called patience, faithfulness, love. This portrays the attitude, the character of a man of faith towards God. When we have patience, what is patience? Means we believe in God's promises. We believe in God's promise and time. We wait patiently. That's what faith is all about. Faith is to expect God to do what he promised at his own time. That's why when faith comes, it brings hope. When you have hope, patience will come after, because you wait for God's appointed time. When God spoke to Abraham, hope came immediately. He believed above hope, and righteousness was promised to him, and he believed. When God speaks to your life, the rest is patience. It's all about time of God. That's why we need to have patience towards God. We will never run out of patience if you are a believer. We have seen the testimony of people. Many, after suffering for so many years, waiting for so many years, waited patiently for the fulfillment of the promise of God. God's promise will always come at God's appointed time. So faith is not complete without patience. Faithfulness means you remain loyal to God, no alternative. When the promise tarries to come, you remain faithful to God. When the circumstances are adverse, the heart becomes loyal to God. Abraham's heart was extremely loyal towards God despite the circumstances of life. David was a man after God's own heart. He was faithful to God. Go read the book of Psalms. You can see the trials he faced every day, but his heart was loyal. A loyal heart will always pray before God. A loyal heart will always look to God as his source, no matter what comes on the outside. What is our attitude toward God? Love. This is the key of everything. Love. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, God said to Moses and his people, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. If I love someone, I will never hurt that person. If I love that person, I will always follow his words. Loving God is to obey his commandment. Loving God is to put God at his right place in your heart. But that love we are talking about is not natural human love. That love is poured in our heart by the Holy Spirit, divine love. So what is your attitude towards God today? Patience. You believe, you wait in patience, and God will reward your faith. Faithfulness. Let your heart and mind remain faithful to God. Never stop praying. Continue to pray. Trust God that God's appointed time, he will visit you. Love. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Do good to those who do bad to you. That's Jesus said. If you are only able to love those who love you, what's the difference between you and others? That love is uncommon love. It is unconditional. It pours from the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is where we miss the mark, all of us. Our human love is limited. Our human love, we love our friends, we love our family, we love those who share the same ideas, same mind. But that's not God's standard of love. Love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Somebody who does not believe what you believe. Somebody who does not share the same faith with me. Somebody who does not accept who I am. Somebody who even reject me. That is my neighbor. That's what Jesus said. Love everybody. But we trust only God. We love everybody. Why Jesus sent the apostles to the world? Because of love. The purpose of the church is to go to people who do not know Jesus. See the case of Saul. If the heart of the people were closed to a soul, Saul would never become an apostle. But because of his ignorance. Who knows Jesus among us? Who loved him first? None of us. We're all the same like everybody today. But mercy came, grace came, and the truth has come. And today, Holy Ghost is helping us to love in a way of love we never had before. Unconditional love. We are talking together. You have never seen me. I've never seen you. We are here together. What makes us one? It's Holy Spirit. Your faith in Christ makes us one today. We believe in the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. We believe he died for us. We believe he resurrected. We believe we have Holy Ghost, that God is our Father, and we are with God. That's the unity of the Spirit, the bonds of peace of love. Now, my attitude towards God, patience, faithfulness, and love. Now, your attitude towards yourself. This is a problem. We only believe the fruit of the Spirit are towards others. What about yourself? What about yourself? The Bible says you must have joy. Joy is for you. You can only give what you receive. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. If you don't have joy, how can you give joy to others? You can only give what you have. So when you have the joy of the Lord, that joy will overflow to people, will communicate. When you enter an atmosphere, you see a joyful person, everybody starts laughing because you communicate an atmosphere of joy from the Lord, a joy from the Spirit of God. That joy is not determined by circumstances. If you have that joy, you can be in the midst of trials and have joy. You can be in difficult situation and have joy in your heart because you hear the inner voice of God in your heart. That joy is not determined by what people say. That joy is determined by the Spirit of God inside your heart that I am with you and that's enough for you. Jesus said when everybody rejected him, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. He said, I thank you, Father, because you have hidden this to the wise and show it to the simple. The joy of the Lord. That joy is for you. When you have that joy, nothing on the earth will tamper your joy, your peace. You have peace. This peace is the peace of heart given by the Holy Spirit. A man of faith can be happy, whereas there is nothing to be happy on the outside. A man of faith will have peace of Christ. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. That's the peace of conscience, the peace of mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The whole world may be shaking. People are afraid, but you have the peace of God because God is with you. in the midst of adversity, when you hear the voice of God in your heart, you will fear nothing. You want nothing. You will never see people at your enemy. You will pray for people. You will stand in the solid ground because Jesus is with you. That's his command. Self-control. These are the things you do for yourself. Joy, peace, and self-control. What is self-control? You will not react out of character in the face of provocation. Jesus was extremely provoked and challenged. But Jesus never reacted because of what people said about you. Your attitude should not be determined by people's adversity against you. If you cannot control your situation, control your attitude. If you cannot change the situation around you, control your attitude with the help of the Holy Spirit. When the disciples faced persecution, you can see they had peace, they had joy and self-control. They never allow themselves to act out of character. So, your attitude towards yourself and the attitude towards others. What does this mean? That's our behavior towards others. Kindness towards people, gentleness and goodness. This has to do with your relationship with others. Even in the midst of adversity, Jesus remained kind towards everyone. Even in the midst of rejection, Jesus remained gentle towards others. Even in the midst of everyone do bad and evil, they do good to everybody here. That's what the Bible says. The fruit of the Spirit determines our character towards God, patience, faithfulness and love, towards ourselves, peace, joy and self-control, and attitude towards others. This can only happen if the word of God dominates your heart. It will produce patience, faith, love, which is the fruit of the Spirit here. If the word of God dominates your mind, you will never allow yourself to be overwhelmed and depressed by what people say. The peace, the joy, and self-control will keep your mind in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. In every situation, bring your situation to God in prayer. And the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind in the peace of Christ. Our attitude towards others, the Holy Ghost will help you to have the weapons of righteousness, which is kindness, gentleness, goodness in your relationship with others. That is our behavior. So if the word of God dominates my heart, it will dominate my mind. If it dominates my mind, it will dominate my behavior. Mean my attitude towards God, my attitude towards my own mind, renewed mind, my attitude towards others will be dominated by the word of God. Means the free part of you, your spirit, your soul and mind, and your body will be completely controlled by the word of God. That's how we put on Christ as our righteousness. This is the greatest miracle. This happened on the inside of you, and nobody can see that. You're taught to be angry before. As you grow, anger will begin to leave you. A new kind of self-control will come. It does not happen overnight. That's the transformative power of Holy Spirit in our life. That's we put on the new man. That is Christ-likeness. We are a work of progress all our lives. If we are humble and we want to embrace Jesus' standard, we need to surrender to the Holy Ghost for this. This is what we need him for. These are the fruit of the Spirit that Jesus is waiting for at the day of judgment. The day we leave this earth. You can see, when we say Holy Spirit, people think about power, word of wisdom, knowledge. No, my brothers and sisters. Power, word of wisdom, miracle, is not our job. It's God, work of Holy Spirit. What matters for God is the fruit of the Spirit that you hear here. Now, I want you to read the Bible with you in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 3. See what Paul is saying here. Paul said, let me start by verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Take note. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. That's what he said. Joy in the midst of suffering. Joy in the midst of pain. Joy in the midst of adversities. When Paul and Silas was in the prison, they began to worship God with the joy of the Lord. A man of faith can be happy, have joy, internal joy, whereas there's nothing to be happy about on the outside in the flesh. He said, And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That love is given birth in your heart by the Spirit of God. A love that you cannot process in your mind. You begin to love people. The people you used to reject, you begin to love them. You begin to accommodate people. You begin to see something is new, is changing in the person's life beyond human understanding. That's the work of progress of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of righteousness. These are the fruit Jesus is looking for at the day of judgment. You will know them by their fruit. Not by power, not by might, but the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our life to behave right, to live right in the sight of God in our lives today. When you look at this one, you can understand why Paul was warning every true believer. When you talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we talk about the gift of the Spirit. We all want to see power, healing power. Yes, of course, it's good. That's the power of God unto testimony. The power is to testify. But the question is, what will remain with you the day we leave this earth? When you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul said, there are three things that remain: hope, faith, and love. And the greatest of all is love. We all have read this. Let me go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Why we are sharing this message? You want to have the heart of God. You want to walk with God. You want to experience God in a different way. You want your approach to the Bible to change. Your prayer life to change. Your approach to people to change. You have to see a reason to believe God the more. That God is working in your life, in your character, by the Spirit of God. Working through you, in you. So I read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of man or angel, but do not have love, I'm absolutely a resounding gong. Let me go back to my picture here. If we have power, word of wisdom, we have power, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, miracle, prophecy, all these powers. But the Bible says, if we don't have the fruit of Spirit and love, we are nothing. I mean, power has to work character. God values character more than power. Character makes you a godly leader. Character makes you a Christian. Character makes you a child of God. Godly character we are talking about. Righteousness. This is the fruit that will remain forever. The purpose of the fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruit, aspect of the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This portrays our attitude towards God, patience, faithfulness, love, our attitude towards ourselves, joy, peace, self-control, our attitude towards other people, kindness, gentleness, and goodness. Now, we are saying, Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let me read in verse 13. He said, talk about the powers. Let me start verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of man and angel, but I don't have love, I'm a resounding gong. I mean, it's zero before God. If I have the gift of prophecy, I can prophesy to people. If I know all the knowledge and wisdom to know all mysteries, all the gift of word of wisdom, and I have faith that moves mountains, that heals the sick, and I don't have love, I am nothing. I mean, power without character is nothing before God. Why? The power is not me. The power is Holy Spirit that does it as he will. It's not my job. But where my role comes in when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, God cannot change me if I'm not disposed to him to be changed. It's not to be changed, but being able to be changed, willing submission to embrace the character of Christ, to learn from the Spirit through the natural circumstances of life. That's what the word disciple of Christ means. We learn through suffering. We learn through circumstances of life. We learn to be patient. That's what Peter said in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. With knowledge, add perseverance, add love. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is not complete without the work of the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is not an isolated force. It works with this fruit of the Spirit. Love, patience. That's what the Bible says. Faith works by love. What is faith without love? It's out of love that faith comes. Everything flows in. Out of the love of God, out of the love of the Holy Ghost, everything comes with compassion, with the right motivation. So, Paul said, three remains the day we leave this earth. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. What's the meaning of this? This means that when we leave this earth, what remains? Our relationship with people here, as we know here, is over. Our self-centeredness is over. The only thing that remains is your relationship with God in heaven. And what are the fruit that remain? Patience, which is the fruit of hope, faithfulness, and love. These are the three that will remain in heaven forever. But the greatest of all these is love. Why is love the greatest Christian virtue? Let me go to Colossians chapter 3 from verse 10. Now we understand the purpose of the love of God we are talking about. We can see that many things we want God to do in our lives. But God wants to check the level of our love first before he gives us a thing. Why God waited for so long, for 3 years, to train the disciples so they can walk in the love of Christ? The power of the Holy Ghost comes because of love. Compassion. When the power manifests because of love and compassion. When Jesus was moved with compassion, miracle took place immediately because he didn't want to see people suffer. So we need to be motivated by love to see the power of the Holy Ghost flows in our lives more than ever before. So let me read what Peter said. 2 Peter chapter 5. He said, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, brotherly love." That's what Peter said, the fruit of the Spirit. "For if you possess these qualities of the soul, the fruit of the Spirit, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of Jesus." Ineffective. Mean without the fruit of the Spirit, we are fruitless, ineffective. We become like the fig tree that Jesus will reject at the last day. Many will say, "I prophesy." They are the powers. But Jesus said, "I don't know you. I don't see the fruit of righteousness in you." So we need to pray for that. We need to pray for godly character. We need to pray for love, for mercy, for God to give us a heart that does not bear grudges, a heart that loves people, a heart that is endure. We have to pray for those things. Seek his kingdom, seek righteousness, means seek the fruit of the Spirit. And God will make you fruitful if that's the desire of your heart. Now, we finished by Colossians chapter 3. Why love is the greatest virtue. Paul understood that and explained to us clearly. Let me read Colossians 3, himself from verse 10. "And we have to put on the new man, the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of his creator." To be like Jesus Christ is to put on the new man. No longer the old man, but the new man. No longer pride, no longer arrogancy, but humility. Faithfulness. That's the new man. That is Christ. "And there is no Greek, no Jew, no circumcised or uncircumcised, no barbarian, no Scythian, no slave, no free, but Christ is all in all." We are made to be like Jesus in our character, in our lives, in the fruit of the Spirit. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, the fruit of the Spirit. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Verse 14, and last verse. "And over all these things, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity." Mean love binds all the fruit of the Spirit in perfect unity. This means, if I have love of God, I become patient towards. If I have love, I become faithful. If I have the love of God, I'll be able to have joy. If I have the love of God, I have peace because God loves me. If I have the love of God, I'm self-controlled because God loves me. He's with me. If I have love in my heart, I'll be able to be kind towards every person. If I have the love of Christ, I'll be able to be gentle. I'll be able to do what is good because I'm led by the Spirit of love, the Spirit of Jesus. That is the question today. What kind of fruit do we bear? What do we want? Before Jesus, send the power on you, he will build the character first. This is the vessel God is concerned. If we have humility towards others, the power of God will flow through you. If you have compassion towards others, kindness, the power of God will flow through you. Righteousness will flow through you. Character is everything. First, before the vessel is filled. Time for everything. Time to grow in faith. Time to grow in humility. And then we begin to see the glory of God in our lives. And you will never, never lack anything in your life. So the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to make you a child of God and to make you holy. So divine holiness is by the Spirit of God. So never query the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life because of power. Looking for power everywhere. You have a power within you. The power of godliness. The power of character. The fruit that will last forever. That's the purpose God gives you, His Spirit, to make His child. When you're a child of God, you must reflect Christ's character. We are made to be like Jesus. Christ's likeness is forever. We have to reset our mind, to reset our belief and look for character. If you have character, oh my God, nothing will stand against you. If you have character, nothing will weigh you around. If you have character of God, you will stand. But God is with you throughout the journey of life. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for help us, Lord. Holy Spirit of faith, strengthen our faith, Lord. Act upon our soul to produce the virtue of Jesus' character. To be like Jesus, we must live like Him. And no one can live right without the help of Holy Spirit. Act in us so our thought may be pure, our words may be pure. Make us holy as you are holy. Produce your love, your kindness, your gentleness, and the goodness of God in our life. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.